I'm Stacy. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Stacy.
Look at all my little lovies. You shouldn't really be in chairs. I want to just snuggle. Or like a little, I was going to say pig pile. I'm so grateful to be here. And I am dressed up for another thing, but I do remember once this really neat lady, more than once, there was this lady in San Francisco, and she was just a gutter level, just a mess, like most of us have seen at one point. And she would speak a lot, and she would wear the most expensive, gorgeous, full white suit. And she would teeter up there, kind of like I am today, and it made me think of her on the way here. She would talk about it, that it's a privilege, and that it's like, it's kind of helps show like where we've been and where we can. That's not what I was doing today, but I thought of her and I was always impressed because we're always just a, you know, we're in some dank church basement, and it was just her thing. But I did want to share about so much. When I drove here today, I look different than I used to look, but I feel so different. I really, 99% of the time, I'm gonna say, I really like myself. I really like myself. And I was looking through real quick to find exactly what Karen just read about the allergy. So then I was like, oh, geez. But right next to that, I found, and I wanna talk about this other thing, but I just found right after that in my book, it talks about the allergy, and then it's in parentheses, a sponsor had me write, we can go on a diet from negative thinking. And that's a lot of what I have gotten here over the long haul. So I came in approximately 28 and a half years ago in 7 days and 10 minutes. And my story, everybody's story is different, and the focus is abstinence. I don't even know how much time I have.
20 yeah. to 25 minutes.
Okay.
Do you want me to sign you?
Yeah, well, or give me a something when
like
I'm...
a five-minute warning.
Give me a 10-minute to get to the solution. No.
Okay.
Keep calm and trust God. That's from another old sponsor.
Holy cow.
It's okay. You might want to do a check, but I think it's still on. But so when I got here, the allergy part is 100, and it's just so true for me, the allergy part. And I get, I wish I could infuse in little people, like, i.e. my little daughter. There is that piece where you can just tell you're born with it or you aren't. There is a genetic component that I know I have. My mom was drunk the night I was born, out doing the twist. She was having fun, but she was full on wasted and had been through most of the pregnancy. And that's relevant to me because she said I cried a lot. And guess how she stopped me crying? She'd get the little passy, she'd lick it, and she'd dip it in sugar and then put the plug in. And I feel like, you know, just in retrospect, it is what it is, but I am a sugar addict to the core. And for me, I think it's important for me that I'm also a recovering alcoholic, and alcohol is sugar. So from there, you know, when I was little, my dad, and my parents are addicts, alcoholic, overeater. Everybody's sober, but part of that thing was just, you know, a lot of hippie craziness. But we literally would have some days, it's called Montana Crazy Cake that you can make in a frying pan. We'd have cake for breakfast. Not a big thing, not really unusual. My dad would challenge me to candy bar eating contests on road trips. We'd just go in and buy like 40 candy bars and so that was, I don't know, 6, 7, 8. And my mom, when we would come home, the grocery store, we lived outside of town in Montana. And with her, I just remember having, you know, on the gear shift, big bag of Doritos, and we'd eat them all the way home. And every once in a while, there was like beef stroganoff or mac and cheese with the chips on top or whatever. So for me, food... You know, I just didn't know. I didn't know how to do it. And I do like to say, for me, the allergy was, you know, I come by it honestly. The thing I didn't know was this, how powerless I was. And I, what did I hear the other day? Oh, I was listening to a podcast, and the guy was talking about, well, the lady was talking about her sister actually is allergic to peaches or something. You know, I mean, literally her sister. And she says, you know, her sister and several other things, grass and blah, blah, blah. Her sister doesn't have a bad day and come home and think, I'm going to eat some fucking peaches. You know, and we've heard that before. But the other thing I hadn't heard was, you know, people say, well, it's like cancer, you know, it's not a moral issue. Absolutely true. But she said even they don't have a bad day or get broken up with or feel fat and come home and drink cancer juice. And I hadn't thought of that, you know. It is unique in that way, and it's really hard to separate. And what I want to say is I have had a story with a lot of recurring relapse. I'll have, you know, 2 years, a year, 3 years, 6 months, a year. But in the 28 years I've been here, I haven't done the math, but I have to have been, since I came to these rooms on my knees, suicidal, in 1987, I would think, it's almost 29 years, I would think I've had 27 years of freedom. I don't recommend that path. I'm not even going to say I wish I could have stayed stop. I have absolutely perfectly better than, I've perfectly kept coming. I never had a, I don't like that meeting. Well, you know, I don't like that meeting. I don't like that lady. You know, maybe I've had those moments. Knitting helps. This is my tip. Knitting is good. But always come to meetings for almost 30 years, at least 3 times a week. I've started meetings in Virginia, Montana, San Francisco, in my law school. I've just hung on. And had a lot of freedom. So I did, you know, when you, for me, and I loved hearing about the bottom line, there's some things I've developed over the years that have really worked for me. And I think we develop, you know, out of necessity. Like I said, I used to get bummed when I would hear someone or I'd hear a speaker, you know, don't eat no matter what. And I would think, I'm trying, you know. Today I have almost 7 months of not purging again, which is great, and I don't judge myself by that today. I cannot, because I just had best friend. My life is about the program. All my best friends, all my lovies, people I've traveled, I've gone to conferences, I took a sponsee to Mexico. I mean, it's all about this program. And as a result of that, my life is about God and higher power. And as a result of that, I have this ridiculous husband who only an hour ago I pulled him over to me. He's really excited about his new vacation beard, which really actually doesn't look that good, but he's very excited. And I just wanted to say, can you believe how great our life is? We've been married 20 years. Can you believe? And I said, what rhymes with great life? And he looked at me and he goes, great wife. And I'm like, you got it. That's what my life is like. And my daughter upstairs, my son, I haven't checked their grades in all year. I've got a senior and freshman. I checked them. We're applying for colleges. They're just so bright. And they have little red things in their rooms. The little, nowadays they hand out in school. Too cool for drugs. I love my dog. I have a house that's ridiculous. I never had a heater, a washer and dryer, or a dishwasher in my life until I married my husband after, whatever, 15 years in OA. I mean, these are small things, but these are... I threw up when I was 17. Because I couldn't stop eating, and after a while, if you can't stop binging, and that was my story. And so one of the things I was going to tell you girls about, and boys, is that somewhere along the way, my higher power helped me develop my program, a thing for abstinence that really helps me is what my good friend Aaron calls harm reduction. And what I heard on a, I heard a speaker tape, and this was like year 26, it was last year, a woman said she has methadone foods. And I was like, that's what I have. I have some of those, because I'm really sick. I'm really sick. I shouldn't be here. I should have shot myself in the head because I can't fucking stop eating. Cannot stop, no matter how much it hurts, no matter if I've passed out, no matter if my throat is bleeding. Went to a meeting once in San Francisco, and a guy was there, and he was bulimic, and he threw up by putting a spoon down his throat, and the spoon part broke off. And he was told, you know, if you throw up again, you're going to die, because it didn't go out. It was, you know. And of course he fucking threw up again. Of course he did. In that moment, there's no rational mind. That's why it's insanity. That's why it's a disease. You know, and he sat in that room and told us about it and how many times he'd been to the ER with the spoon. That's me. That's why I have 7 months. I'm not dumb, although I am losing my memory. I'm not lazy. I'm not whatever the words are we've all heard. I'm the guy with the spoon. And so what the program has taught me, one of the things is for me, and I get the allergy so big because when I have some sugar, which for me is a shot of tequila or what, you know, it's more like a thing of tequila. I then go into, I'm in the first step. I am drunk and I am not thinking straight. And I've been told it's about the first step or it's about 2 through 12. And today I'm in 2 through 12, which is, work my program. I don't feel the cravings. I do feel, you know, more, I just free and happy and can make choices about all these other foods. And they're different every day and they're imperfect. And I was just in Mexico and then I was at a Shabbat thing. And then I was, you know, and I might be going to India with my sister. And it's like, I can figure out where the sugar is. When I don't have that, I'm in 2 through 12, and then it's my job to be with you guys, you know, meet with my sponsor, make the phone calls, have the texts, have the partner in recovery, which I love. It is not work. What's work is trying to clean up your puke before your daughter gets home, and then trying not to be obsessed with your body while raising teens, and if your husband finds out, but he thinks you're having an affair because you're totally gone, that's a lot of fucking work. It is not work to come hang out with you. I mean, it never has been. I'm so lucky. I've always loved it. Like, oh, and I was just in LA about 3 weeks ago, and people were like, what'd you guys do? Well, we went to a meeting in Malibu, and then went to the beach meeting on Sunday, and then there's the 7 a.m. that I rode her bicycle to, and then there's the this other one that we go, and then all her girlfriends go out to breakfast. Like, that's all I care about. Like, well, which meetings are we gonna go to? Because they're so great, and you guys are so great, and you bring my joy. I'm all over the place. But the allergy, the allergy of the body is my focus for my freedom. And then sometimes I get the privilege of, I've been abstinent so long, you know, 2 years. Then, yeah, I got to watch out for white flour. I mean, pretty quickly I let go of the white flour because it's, I'm such an addict. And the road does get narrower. I get the whole how eating plan, free as a freaking bird on it. But then there's something with the mental obsession. I can't sustain it. Then I feel bad. So I have, keep going back, I have what it's like a target for, you know, for what do you call archery. Just kind of came to me, and I don't know if it came. My sponsor, another sponsor also said once. In the big book, it talks about sin, and she said, you know, she had me look things up, and she said the Latin for that is something like centaur, and what that means in Latin is miss the mark, just miss the mark, which I love, and maybe that, you know, so the target's like, I just missed the mark. What's my center? don't throw up no matter what. That's my center. You know, yours might be don't ever not weigh something on your food plan. That's great. I just know what mine is. When I go there, I am off the reservation. I don't want to tell even my sponsor. I can't, that's my center. And then I have my next circle is sugar, right? And my next circle is white flour and probably binging. So what I talk about the harm reduction thing and the methadone foods is, so if I binge on sugar or I pick up some sugar for, you know, my spiritual health is lacking, it works for me to get really clear. What I used to do is I was in that thinking and just, you guys, I'm scared to come. I've gained weight. What are you going to think of me? I have to say again, like anyone cares except you want the best for me. But I used to bring my disease in here. And what I need to do is I need to be able to look at and know the difference in my mind. Oh, no, wait, Stacy. Yes, you feel guilty, but this is not actually illegal. I remember one time I was drinking a mocha because I was struggling with sugar. More than once, but I remember clearly once I was right under the freeway I-5 by Roosevelt, and I heard a policeman, and I, for more than a full minute, thought I was getting arrested for my mocha. And I'm guessing, you know, some nodding heads that you had, that's the feeling. And sometimes, too, I want to say, it's not the OA propaganda, but sometimes, if you've been in here for 30 years, it's so ingrained, you know, we talk about it so much that it feels like that, but that's not OA's message. OA's message is, you know, a diet from negativity. OA's message is, I have a disease and I'm powerless. It's not illegal, it's not immoral. But when I'm in that place, I have to be really clear that that doesn't mean, oh, you're bad, Stacy. Gosh, you've been around so long. Gosh, you're going to have to say, no, what it means is separate. Don't throw in the towel. Don't go to the center. Don't throw up. Just tell people, I'm in the zone. I'm in my second circle. And for me, that's abstinent. It's not my favorite. It's very scary. It's like I'm sipping a beer or whatever. But I can back out. Then what it also means for me, and if this is helpful to one person, you know, and for some people it might sound crazy, but what I know is it works for me. I'm not saying something new I just discovered this year and like, oh, I think it's going to work. I think Atkins is going to work this time. I'm saying what has worked for me over years and years, finally. So then I have to back out because some of you have heard, I don't know when I came up with this, but years ago I realized I can't go from binging to broccoli. But I try to. I do, because then I want to wipe the slate clean and be even more clean. And as long as I keep trying that, that means I'm going to eat some more. Until I say, okay, eat a loaf of bread for all week or whatever, but just have it not be sugar. And then after that, okay, 10 minutes. You know, after that, maybe throw some salad and stuff. And I got to crawl my way back to get off the, it's just what works for me. But as long as it's kind of more, then it feels like dieting to me when I'm trying to go from being a bad girl to a good girl. And that's what I call, too, if I talk to a partner in recovery, I'm having a really hard time. I had some weird grains when at this Shabbat wedding thing. I was just in San Francisco. If I have a hard day today, I just want to let you know I might eat a whole bag of popcorn or something. Since this is abstinence, I'm guessing I can say food. Not my favorite meal, but it's a methadone food to get my way back, so I don't have to go there. And then I get to spend most of my time out here in this where I feel, I'm so grateful when I feel just complete freedom from that compulsion. And it really isn't, I don't have plans. I'm going to do this thing today and they're going to give us some food. It's this auction for my daughter's crew thing. And I know there'll be, whatever. There'll be some protein. There'll be some bread. There'll probably be like 1,600 pounds of brownies. I don't want those. I don't care about them. I'm going to eat some stuff. I'm going to do some more work. Oh, my husband thinks it's so hilarious. They gave me a name for what I'm doing. I'm the silent fluffer. Clearly, they don't know what a fluffer is. And my husband's like, if they give you a name tag, you got to bring it to me. I'm so grateful that's my abstinence. If I'm not on sugar, basically, if I'm not on sugar, I have complete freedom in the world. And I had an old friend that used to say, just, you know, have your burrito and get on with your day. And that's just been my story, that from experience, that's what's worked for me. I'm so grateful. And then it's, you know, after that, after the craving, if I'm not in step one, if I'm not about the food, then I am about 2 through 12. And I forgot my glasses, but I got my huge book. And that's when it's really important to me. And this is key for me, for Stacy. Why then would I ever pick up sugar again? Why? Why would I ever throw up again? Because if I eat the right things, I'm in remission. Why would I ever do that? And that's what my higher power is having me learn. That's my higher power is, my path has been getting closer and closer to God to have this experience with my higher power that makes my life so wonderful that I want to grab my little husband and say, God, this is ridiculous. And I could list all my problems, but I'm in fit spiritual condition today. So actually, I'm thinking, God, is this for real? Pinch me. We have such a great life. If I haven't been to a meeting for a while, ask me next Monday. I'd be like, my daughter has an eating disorder and her therapist is quitting and she's getting heavier and heavier and I know what that feels like. And, you know, my dad's crazy. I'm pretty sure he's smoking marijuana again. My sister's husband is dying. I'm not thinking that today. So it's the spiritual experience, 2 through 12, and what it says in here. So it says we have the allergy of the body and we have the obsession of the mind. So I can't be I do work on the obsession of the mind part, but if I've eaten the food and I've got that allergy going, that's a meeting a day, 90 and 90, call everyone you know, because I can die in that place. We can die in that place, you know, choke on the spoon. It happens. I just went to a funeral 10 days ago for my good friend from Al-Anon. Her husband was a year and a half sober. And I found this really interesting because I get it. He was sober from alcohol. It took him years and years and years. Crazy. Finally sober, but he wanted to use so bad. Turns out he started huffing a dust cleaner and choked and died. He's 50, and I went to his funeral 10 days ago. My 36-year-old cousin had 17 years sober, and she hung herself in December. This is the obsession of the mind. And maybe, yeah, I don't know, but I know for today, I've been chosen not because I'm elegant, smart, or, I had that window, I got my arm through, I got my ass through, and I at least act as if I refuse to be shamed by this disease. I act as if every day. I just get to be honest and pray for humility. And that's what I work on daily with this obsession of the mind. And obviously I don't do it perfectly because I've picked up again, but that's okay. I also believe a sponsor told me once, later in the book somewhere, it talks about your deepest secrets, your most shameful thing, like when I kissed a lesbian that wasn't my husband, will become your gift. Well, what do you know? My 14-year-old said she might be a lesbian. She's bi-curious. I said, well, that's great, because I once had a girlfriend. I didn't tell her it was while I was married, but no, this is great. That's on tape, but that's okay. pretty much everyone knows that. I about 24 hours later, I was like, oh my God, you know, this is so scary. She already has challenges. Lesbians are great, but Jesus, do you have to have everything for my basil, you know? That's why I had that horrific, scary experience. Turns out I'm not a lesbian, but I was a little bit kind of cray-cray about 15 years ago or something. I had that experience. I could say that to my daughter right then. I've had this experience of relapse, but sticking around. Maybe there's one or two of you that's had that and maybe feels a little better. I don't know. That's what my sponsor says. That's why it happens. So I think I'll close. Am I done? Can I read the obsession of the mind thing? Someone turn the lights off when I hit menopause. So it talks about, you know, allergy. If we can just put down our substance, we won't feel this crazy middle of the night, I'll kill someone for a Snickers. Then it says, these observations would be academic and pointless if our friend never took the first bite, binge, sugar, thereby setting the terrible cycle in motion. Therefore, the main problem, my sponsor said, circle that fucker, the main problem is the disease centers in the mind rather than the body. She said, circle mind rather than body. If you ask Stacy why she started on that last bender 7 months ago, or no, it was about 2 years ago when my daughter started cutting and gained 40 pounds and we found out she had an eating disorder, chances are she'll offer some alibi like, oh, it's my daughter, like I just said. Sometimes there's excuses, certain plausibility. None of them really make sense in the light of the havoc my eating and binging and purging causes. They sound like the philosophy of a woman who is having a headache, beats herself on the head with a hammer so she can't feel the ache. If you draw this fallacious reasoning to the attention of Stacy, she'll laugh it off. Or become irritated and refuse to talk. Once in a while, she may tell the truth, and the truth, strange to say, is usually, I have no more idea why I took that first bite than you have. Some have excuses, which they're satisfied part of the time, but in their hearts, they really don't know why they do it. Once this malady has a real hold, they're a baffled lot. There is the obsession that somehow, someday, they'll beat the game. But they often suspect they're down for the count. Skip a paragraph. The tragic truth is, if the woman or man be a real overeater, the happy day may not arrive when they can eat like a lady or a gentleman. I've lost control. At a certain point, the eating of every overeater passes in the state where the most powerful desire to stop is of absolutely no avail. The tragic situation has already arrived in practically every case long before it's suspected. It goes on to say on page 25, there is a solution. Self-searching, leveling of our pride, confession of our shortcomings. And then it ends with, it's a psychic change. And we pick up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at our feet, sometimes over and over. No big deal. Nobody cares but you. Nobody's counting. Just pick up the kit again. Look around. Where'd I put it? You know? At our feet. Or maybe it's lost. Find it. We've found much of heaven, and we've been rocketed into a fourth dimension of existence of which we had not even dreamed. The great fact is just this and nothing less. We have had, all of us, deep and effective spiritual experiences which have revolutionized our whole attitude toward life, toward our fellows, and towards God's universe. The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. It's true. Thanks.